Okay, sorry for the delay. The topic is the. Do I need more sheets? There's some more space. Okay. The daily grind, and obviously what we're going to talk about is halachot of what's called tochen. Okay, tochen means to grind, and tochen grinding was one of the things that they had to do in the Beit Hamikdash in order to make either the dyes that they had that they used in order to make the different skins and stuff like that. Or what else do they use tochen for? What else do they have to grind things for?
The flour.
Right. Now, it's interesting. We're on this whole wheat kick. Has anybody ever tried to bake with whole wheat flour all the time? Yeah, you make real bread with whole wheat without anything else inside? Any other flour?
Yeah.
But it comes out like a rock.
No.
Not if you add enough sugar.
Oh, honey.
Okay. Well, we'll have to...
Yeah.
So I always wondered, somebody said to me that way back when they never had white whole processed flour because there was no way to grind it as finely and remove the impurities. So back in the day, you imagine the lechem hapanim, the showbreads looked like the challah you get at Zeman's. Dream on. It looked like the whole wheat bread that they had because that was bread. So now we made a whole wheat bread. It was like a rack. So you wonder, how did they get it to stay that shape? Now you know. It stayed in that neato shape because it was very, very heavy. You don't make it heavy?
This isn't heavy? White stuff.
Okay. Okay. So what is tochen? What is grinding? And we're going to see it's not just grinding. It's going to be a bunch of other different things as well. How do you do it? Okay. As always we say, grinding, it's not how you do it sometimes. It's knowing how to do it in the proper way. As I said, you can do almost anything as long as you know how to do it. Okay. Number two, tochen with a shinui. Remember, sometimes we said you could do things with a shinui in an unusual way. For example, what did we say last week? We learned about lisha, about kneading. And we said that under most circumstances, unless you're making a belila ava, a thick mixture, you could do it in a crisscross manner with the back of a spoon. Just for your own information, today I made oatmeal. And even though I mixed it in with a tremendous amount of milk, after a while it soaks in and it gets really, really to be a very solid mixture. So, halacha in action. Okay. Number three. What type of cutting and grinding would constitute tochen? How small must the pieces be? Okay. So we're going to find out it isn't just grinding, but we're going to see that it's more things as well. It's cutting in a certain way too. Okay? And we're going to see how small would the pieces be to make a difference. Okay. So the Mishnah. So now we're going to the Gemara in Shabbos, source number one, from Gemara in Shabbos. It's a very short Gemara. It's actually interesting. Many of the discussions in the Gemara are unbelievably short, just very brief. So the Gemara says, Tatochen, grinding. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, so the Mishnah said grinding was forbidden. So Rapapa added, Haiman de Parim Silka. What are Silka? Beets. Good. One who, Parim means to cut up finely. One who finely cuts beets. Chayav Mishum Tochen. That's considered grinding as well. So parim means to grind. It actually translates parim as cutting very finely. So now we already see that grinding isn't just taking something like a kernel of wheat and mashing it down into much smaller pieces, but grinding is also taking something and cutting it into small pieces as well. So now you ask me the obvious question. What's the obvious question?
How small?
That's the most important question. How small? Meaning how small am I allowed to cut it and not violate the problem of tochen? Amar Rav Asha, Haiman de Salit Shilte Chai Mishum Tochen. Amar Rav Ashi, Salit Shilte. Anybody know what that means? I forgot what it means, to be honest with you. Salit Shilte? I read it this morning. No, I forgot. I'll have to look it up again. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, Ikapin Amar Shchata Chai Mishum Mechate. So it's cutting Shilte are... I don't remember, so I'll have to look it up again. Silte? Solet is fine flour.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Solet?
What? Solet is fine flour, but I don't think that's it. Solet silte.
What's the solet of the word?
Solet is something grind up. No, that's not. Okay.
It's something.
What? Oh, sure. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I have to look it up. I don't remember exactly. Okay. You know what? Mel, can you mind doing me a favor? Go into my office. You'll see a big sign of Gemara there on my desk. I just want to look it up and make sure I get it right. Okay. Thank you. So let's skip to Gimel. Then the Gemara goes on to something else. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara very often will do this. Let's see, how many Isurim can you violate at one time? You know, like you always have that thing, you know, what if you eat pork on Yom Kippur, you know, driving your car? Right, the Gemara lets you do that. How do you violate, the Makos the Gemara does that. How can you violate 10 things at one time? So our Gemara does the same thing as well. Amar Rava, Rava said, Haiman de Avid Chavita. Okay? If a person makes a Chavita, have to look what that is. Chavita is like a sort of if you make a, what? No, it's not an omelet. It's a Chavis is a, I'm sorry, it's a barrel. A barrel. Yeah, chavis. It's like a barrel. Chaya mishum sheva chatos. Okay? You are violated. In order to do it, you have to violate seven. You have to bring seven offerings. Because you violated seven different things. Let me just look at Adaf Ayin Dal Amud Beis. Okay, here we are. Silka, one second. Prime Sun, we got. Solit silti. So I sometimes like to look at the Steinzel. What are kisumim? Kisamim, yeah. Oh, I know what it is. Okay. Solit silta is someone who cuts small trees. I mean, let's say, for example, people used to do this. How did you get a toothpick? You took a little stick and you cut it up into small pieces. So it's not just the grinding act, but if I take something that's big and cut it down into smaller pieces to make it usable in a new way, that's what tochein is. Okay? So it's on the one hand taking a beet and cutting it down into a smaller piece to make it usable. On the other hand, it's also taking a stick and making it into a toothpick. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tanura, let's say you made a tanur, an oven. Amar Abaye said, "Haiman de oved chalta." Ha, I can beat you up. Let's say you made a chalta. A chalta is a basket of reeds. So in order to make the basket, you have to cut things down. We'll see in a second. Chayev achadisrei chatos. If you decide I'm going to do basket weaving on Shabbos, you know, you're a professional basket weaver, if you drive to shul on Shabbos, and then you go to the mall, and you buy God knows what, how many things have you violated? How many things? One. One.
Oh.
Just driving. Driving is one. Mavir, it's burning a fire. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But if you decide I'm going to sit in my house and do the things I need to do in order to make a reed basket, 11. Good job. You know. So Rashi says, how do you get 11? Chayav Echadesrei, you see the bottom line. Okay? Chayav Echadesrei, you see the small letters where it's really, really small? So that's in Rashi script. I just want to comment and explain for a second. Rashi could not read Rashi script. Okay? You ever know that? Rashi could not. He couldn't read Rashi script.
But he printed.
No, he didn't. No. It was invented by a printer many, many years later, hundreds of years later, who wanted to distinguish between Rashi and
the Torah.
And Torah, or whatever, the Gemara. So they invented this other font. It's just a font. Right? Well, they told you that
Rashi invented as a way of hiding it from whoever
Oh, that's a total lie. Okay. Zomer Hakanin, if you prune the reeds, Vuhutzarach Lam, Chay Bishim Kotzer, Umishim Noter, then you did cutting down and planting. Asafim Yachad, so that's when you gather, then you had to gather them all together. That's Ma'amer, gathering. Birer Yafos, so then you have to take the nice ones and dump the bad ones. What did you do? I raised there. Borer. Hichlikan, and you know, as you know, you're raising borer. Good, separation. Hichlikan, you smooth them out. Hareze mimachek. That's smoothing things out. We're going to talk about mimachek. Mimachek has a couple of very serious ramifications when it comes to toothpaste and soap and makeup. Big time, big things.
What about making a bed?
What?
What about making
mimachek? Make your bed?
Out.
Smoothing? I'm not aware that that's relevant, but we'll talk. Maybe. I don't know. I have to see. I don't remember. Okay. I don't think so. I saw on Dakos, Me'achas Shtayim O'Shalos. That's how you made thin ones now. You have a very thick reed, and you pull off two or three. Harei Zeh Tochen, Rashi said. So that's, I brought it just for that last one. So we see that Tochen isn't just the act of taking a mortar and a pestle. The classic way they grind things, you take a mortar and a pestle, and you pound at it, or you've had two things and you're scraping them together.
Like
but that's what? Like a pharmacist. Right. That was a classic way of grinding things. What would they have a mortar and a pestle for? Not just a pharmacist. Who had one in their homes? Herbologists. You know who had one in their homes? Everybody had one in their homes. Because we're very spoiled, right? If I want spices, how do I get spices?
You open up the
I go to my cabinet and I take out my garlic powder and I sprinkle my garlic powder, right?
They used to grind it up.
They had to grind it up. So how they, if they wanted thyme or whatever, you know, how did you get it? You had to bam, 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 mash at it and work at it, and then found you had a finely ground spice, and you were okay.
How they check that?
What? How they check for bugs? What do you mean? They always had issues of bugs.
But
people, by the way, they make their own spices. They say, I wouldn't know, but anybody here ever had like one of those boxes where you grow your own like little rack of spices?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be much better, much, much tastier. So how do you get those spices? You have to grind them up. You have to cut them very, very finely, and you put them in.
Like
check them the same way you check anything else.
Put them all in a little bag.
Yeah.
First, you don't have to chop them up so small. I usually use a little soup.
Yeah.
Put it in a little spice bag.
Oh, tie it in the bag, and then
you just pull it right out.
If that works for you. Okay, I understand what you're saying. That's how you check them. But also,
because
different...
you can't check them back then. That's all they could do was check them.
I don't think you couldn't check them. I don't think you can't check them.
You
were told you couldn't?
That it was almost impossible, and it was just not worth it.
Oh, I didn't say it's almost... I said it's not worth it. People like, you know, broccoli and cauliflower, right? You want it? You can check broccoli and cauliflower, sure, if you want to. It's one of the
time.
What?
If you have
that kind of time. It just takes a lot of time, you know, because it's very labor intensive. So, you know, what's that? Yeah, but you know the problem, the problem with Bonik is it's all frozen, it's gross, and it, you know, you lose the whole thing. So, either you want to take the time or you don't.
Or they should grow it hydroponically in a total environment.
I'm not so sure that it's worked that it grows so well, A, and B, I'm not so sure that it's totally closed either. You know, they do their best. And you know how they make sure that there are no bugs in that hydroponic, totally enclosed thing? Tons of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of them. Yeah, if you ever taste the lettuce from Gaza, you know, that they get from those houses, you know, you get the chasa on Pesach from Gaza. The Gush Katif stuff, you never have the Gush Katif lettuce? Tons and tons of chemicals. I mean, that's what you have to do. You want to make sure you have no bugs. You have to kill them all. There's only one problem. You can't get the chemicals out of the lettuce either. Okay, so what we've learned here now is that tochen, tochen, grinding, or two more, grinding is the process of taking something that's not usable or usable in one form and making it smaller and so that I can use it in a new way. Okay, so what's the measurement of grinding food? So let's look at the Rambam, just on page one, we'll look down a little bit. It says, Rambam, hatochen ki grogeres, chayav. If you grind, kigogeres means the size of a small date, you're chayav. V'chol ha-shochek tablin v'samanin v'machteshet. Anyone who crushes tablin are spices. What are samanin? Samamnim?
Spices.
Nope. Samamnim, anybody know? Cheryl? Medicines.
Medicine.
Okay. How did they get medicines? They would say, take root of blah, 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 right, and squish it up together. It's like potions in Harry Potter, right? Take arrowroot root and grind it up and put it into your potion.
It's from Sham.
From what?
From
Sham is a poison, or, yeah. Samanim are medicines. Okay. And the reason I got the token first was, A, I wanted to cover it first, and people have been bugging me to talk about medicine, okay? All of the halachas of medicine are an offshoot of the halachas of tochen. Because the only way in the times of the Talmud that they had medicine was by grinding it up. And in fact, to be honest, that's the only way they have medicine today. Well, not really the only way. But every pill is also has been ground up and then reconstituted. You know, so they had natural herbs and we don't. And they were probably somewhat better off for the natural stuff as opposed to the artificial. Okay? Harei zeh tochen v'chayav. This is grinding, and you're chayav. Okay? Hamechatech yerek talush. Let's say you cut up a yerek, a vegetable, that's not attached to the ground anymore. You're going to cut it up. Zeh toledet tochen. This is a type of, a form of grinding. Right? So the Rambam just kind of leaves it out there. And you say, what? I can't cut up an onion on Shabbos? So the answer is?
No.
You can. It depends how you do it. Right. Okay, v'chein ha-noser etzim le-hanos b'nisaret alehem. If I splinter off etzim, sticks, in order to benefit from their splinters. Oh, ha-shas lashon tzometechet. Let's say I scrape, I have an iron, a piece of iron, and I want to get iron shavings. I don't know. Why would you want iron shavings on Shabbos? What are iron shavings good for? I don't know. See, we live in such a post-industrial time, we don't even know what iron shavings are used for. Anybody know?
I don't know.
You're like a electrician. Yeah, what's going on?
He is
an
electrician, but
no, Aaron Shaley. I don't know. Okay.
Magnetic capabilities. But what would you do with it on Shabbos?
Okay. Chayav Mishayashiv Kosher Hu. As soon as you start scraping, well, I don't know, not on Shabbos. What would you do in real life?
In real life,
you wouldn't.
There's no, never any need for iron shaving.
No. What's the purpose?
No, I think that you were using it specifically to. I think, by the way, what you described, let's say, if I'm doing it to sharpen the knife, that's what we call there's two. There's davrusha in the miskaven, and malachah in the tzricha legufa. What you're talking about is a malachah in the tzricha legufa. For example, this is a very important concept in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say, for example, you're not allowed to dig. Okay, you're not allowed to dig a hole. Chofer, you're not allowed to dig. So the question is, the rabbi says, you're not allowed to dig in order to create a hole. What if I dig because I want to put the dirt somewhere? So the rabbi said, that's a shinui. Remember we talked about? You're not allowed to do it, but it's called the malacha she'ein etzvicha begufa. It's a malacha, you're doing it in the wrong way. You're doing it backwards. So here, your example of sharpening the knife, you definitely wouldn't be chayav. You're not allowed to do it lechachila. Okay, so anyway, so at least we see from the sources that there is this base of grinding you're not allowed to do. So now we have to know, what can I do and what can't I do? Now, to be honest with you, it's very good that there were rabbis who came later on, even after the Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Rivia, turn to page 2. Right, and explain these things, because it's really, really, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's somewhat confusing. It's actually very confusing because the details are in there, but they're not listed in such a way. It wasn't divided up topically. The Shulchan Aruch assumed something. He assumed that you knew grinding was forbidden, Rabbi Yosef Karo. He assumed that you knew what sorts of types of grinding were forbidden. He just gives you details that apply in their lifetime. So now we have to sort of figure it out for our lifetime and apply it to our lives as well. Okay, so there are four principles when it comes to grinding that's very important to remember. Now, you know what, before we get to that, let's figure out what Tochen is before we say what it isn't. Turn to page 3 for a second. Let's start with Yud Beis. See where it says Yud Beis, the second paragraph on page 3 at the top? See where it says Yud Beis, the big Yud Beis, the second paragraph? Right there. Good. Uh-huh. Everybody have it in the second paragraph at the top? Hamechatech hayarek dak dak chayav nishum tochen. Someone who cuts a yarak, an onion, dak dak. Sarah, what does dak dak mean? Very small. Chayav nishum tochen. So Sarah, what's your problem? What problem do you have with that? Not what's your problem. What problem would you have with that? No. What does it mean? What does it mean? So anybody here hear Rabbi Kripnik yesterday?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Kripnik mentioned, he said, it's very interesting. When you talk about how do you traber an animal, what veins do you have to remove? So when you describe something in a text, there's a big difference between describing something in a text and showing. You know? Imagine if I said, I want to learn how to be a mower. Okay? So all I'm going to do is read all the books there are on Mila, and then I'm going to go to it. You know, I often do that. That in Mila. I find that very often in home projects. You know? There's no way to just successfully complete a project the first time correctly. You know, I buy all the books, and you know, but there's nothing that can substitute for real life experience. You know, nobody tells you how to level off a shelf. They'll tell you, oh, don't forget to level off the shelf.
That's right.
Right. But then you put it up and you realize, oh, God, the whole thing's totally crooked.
The construction, it comes with experience.
Yeah. With everything, it comes with experience, right? So that's why the Torah was considered a Torah Shebaal Peh. It was an oral tradition. The oral tradition was there in order to be handed down. It was real life. It wasn't just, you know, book knowledge. First of all, even the book knowledge, I find experientially, you know, especially when it comes to real learning. You know, if you want to learn on a basic level, then these books are great. If you want to learn the Rambam, you know, and you want to understand what the Rambam says basically, these books are great. But when you want to get into it, you want to understand it, it cannot be taught by a book. Nobody can teach you really deep thinking by a book. You have to really have a teacher, and you have to have someone transmit it to you. So the same thing is true about learning in real life, you know. You could sit down with your book, and it would say, finally. How fine? What does dak dak mean? So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, and you know, he transcends the transmission. There's a difference. I mean, to be honest with you, if you look at Rabbi Ribia's book, he says it's not really clear how finely it's supposed to be. So the level of fineness that they talk about is cutting it up so finely that you wouldn't have to chew it anymore.
That's fine.
How fine is that?
That's also depending on the person, because some people can swallow things that are...
No, not like you'd have to hurt yourself to swallow it.
You said chew, I mean... Right, for example, taking a capsule. Someone can take a capsule.
Okay, I got my onion here.
Like Tylenol. I can't take a Tylenol. My Tylenol's broken up in different pieces
okay.
so I could swallow it. So
now, I'm cutting small pieces.
Right.
Okay, would you have to chew these? Am I going to see them?
Yes.
You'd have to chew these.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody agree? Okay, you'd have to chew them. So that would be okay. I would agree with that. Now, what about this? If I cut them like this.
You might not have to.
If I cut them, I'm going to show you in a second. See how, if I cut them this finely, you know, I would say it's quarter inch by quarter inch.
Right.
If I put that in egg salad, would you have to chew it?
Yeah.
No, with the eggs around it.
No.
Okay.
You probably could swallow that whole.
I could chew it, but would I have to?
No.
Okay. So I think that's a good. I think then, if we can all agree, that once it's the size that you would mix it into a salad and it would become part of the salad and not recognizable itself, that you would not have to chew it, then I would say stay away from that. That would be called tofu.
That would be recognizable.
I didn't say that it's not recognizable. I mean, it wouldn't be like, oh, there's an onion and somebody. I mean, I think a good measurement would also be, let's say, you know, if somebody doesn't eat onions, right?
Yeah.
So then there are two levels of fineness of the onions. Are there pieces that I can pick out, or are there so many onions in there that I'm just not going to eat it? Okay? This is so many onions in there that I'm just not going to eat it. What? Well, then you'd have to. So how would you do it? Very good. Take the egg around it, and to be honest with you, an egg salad, that would be rather tricky. Okay? So I would say, if you wanna chop your onions, you're really safe if you do this. If you wanna put those onions in. You know? That's for sure I think you're safe. Because don't get me wrong, but don't swallow that. And okay? So I think that's a safe way of saying it. That if you wanna make it for a salad, you don't want to cut it in such a way that it's so small that it'd be grinding. So the Mechaber continues, the Ramah continues. I mean, Yud Beis.
So wait a minute, very small then would be that you could swallow it without chewing.
I think small enough that you could swallow it without chewing.
You can't do that.
That's what Tochein is. Okay, we're defining what Tochein is. I didn't say you couldn't do it. I said that's what Tochein is. And then we're going to discuss under what conditions and how could you do it or whether you could at all. Okay? Haga, says the Ramah. V'hu hadin, the same thing is true. The asher lachtoch grogaros the charuvim lifnei zikenim. Let's say you have an elder grandmother, right? And she has difficulty chewing. This happens quite often. So you have to cut it up in such a way that she doesn't have to chew it anymore, right? It's one of these things we call it mamanashach. Mamanashach means either way, right? If it's so small, then if she doesn't have to chew it, then what did you just do? You ground it up, right? And if it's not small enough that she has to chew it, then your grandmother won't be able to eat it, right? So therefore, these are dried things that you'd have to cut up in such a small way in order for them to almost literally take each piece and swallow them individually. So to do that with these things, okay, with like an onion, or as we said, with dates, dried dates, or with charuvim. What is a charuvim?
Carrots,
right? You know, carrots. The reason why you have to cut it up, anybody ever eat a carob? You never had carob?
No.
They're really hard, impossible to chew. You could chew on it forever.
You can get them at the health food store.
You can get them at the health food store.
Chocolate chips.
Sure. She gets them all the time. She eats them like morsels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, says the... okay. Okay.
Things like meat wouldn't be under this, right?
Oh, why?
Because it doesn't grow from the ground.
Oh, very good.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
So now let's turn back. So now I just defined.
You can go to the store and buy baby food. We couldn't get kosher meats in for babies, and you couldn't even get all the kosher vegetables. You had to grind them.
We just made challenge. Right. Okay. Go back to page 2. So now that we've defined what grinding is, what tochen is, now we can discuss what the exceptions are. Okay? And to be honest with you, the exceptions are so great that there's almost nothing you can't do. Almost nothing. Okay? Says the source 3, Rabbi Ribier. There are primarily four separate exemptions to the malacha of tochen. Right, the malacha is the action of tochen. In effect, this means that there are four conditions under which tochen is permissible. However, unlike the three conditions of borer, where all three conditions are required, by the way, just as a little test, what are the three conditions of borer? Right? Very good. Let's repeat that. Very good, Aviva. Miyad means right away. That's going to be right away. Biyad, with your hand, meaning not with a utensil made for borer. And ochel mitoch tzol, that means you have to take the good from the bad. Right? If that's all you remember about borer, you're doing great. Because, you know, then it's important. Okay? These four exemptions are completely independent of one another, and each one separately is sufficient to permit tochen. What are they? Number one, ein tochen ela begidule karka. Okay? Tochen applies only to earth-grown foods. This means that one may grind foods that do not grow from the earth, such as eggs, chopped liver. Okay? There's no problem. How would you grind it? How can you grind it? What? However you want. Apparently, we're going to see. Except for one way. Okay? Can I take a fork and grind it? Mm-hmm. Any way I want. Okay? What about, well, we'll see in a second. Number two. We're going to talk about each one of these in a second. Okay? Two. Ein tochen achar tochen. There is no grinding after grinding. Meaning, once, oh, wait, let's go back to one for a second. Okay? Foods from the ground, the ein tochen, only applies to foods that do not grow from the ground. But that rule only applies to foods. If something isn't a food, is not edible, then tochen does apply to it. Let me give you an example of something that's not from the ground, that doesn't grow from the ground, and nonetheless you would grind it. This is a very common one, actually. You'd be surprised.
It's not food.
Okay. You're walking home on a Friday night from shul, okay, or from wherever, and you step in a pile of mud.
Yeah.
Okay? So your shoes become all muddy. You come home, and the next day, right, you want to put your shoes on. So what do? Well, hit them on the floor is not the problem. What most people do is they'll scrape it off. Okay? Now, what are you doing when you're scraping off that dried up mud? Obviously, you are. You're taking a clump of mud, you know, especially if it dries well, and you're grinding it into smaller granules. So how would you want to remove your mud from your shoes? Like Amir does, you smack it against the ground. Because then you're not grinding it. All you want to do is remove it from the shoes. Like you're not allowed to grind it up. Really, that's what you're, the way you do it, the most efficient way to do it is to take a pen or whatever else you have handy, okay? Not something your wife puts in her hair, okay? And scrape off the bottom of your shoes. You know, and anybody who's ever been at a funeral has spent a number of hours doing that afterwards. And something just to be aware of on Shabbos, because tochen isn't just food; it also applies to a lot of different things. Okay, ein tochen achar tochen. There was no grinding. Number two, no grinding after grinding. You can't regrind something that's already been ground. For example, somebody give me an example. Dave, can I have your plate, please?
Sugar.
It's already been ground.
What? Has whatever's on Dave's plate already been ground? Well, he grounded up pretty well anyway. Okay. But let's say I wanted to smush this up, right? I'm taking this and I'm smushing it up. I'm crushing something that used to be solid and turning it into little particles. Can I do that? The answer is yes. Why? Because it was already particles that were flour beforehand, so I'm allowed to grind it up. Similarly, if I wanted to make matzah meal out of matzah, I could do that because it was already ground. Yeah, Aviva.
The mud used to also be ground.
What?
The mud was dirt before it was mud.
But it's not food. Oh, ain't tochen, no, it was not a ground. The mud was not ground. It was dirt.
Dirt. It was little particles.
Correct.
It used to be dirt. And now you're taking it off your shoe, and now it's dirt again.
It wasn't ground. It had never been ground up. This is something that had physically been ground.
Maybe not. It wasn't ground by man, but it was ground in nature through the
road. Not even necessarily, yeah, I know. What?
Physically ground by a person?
Let's think for a second. What? Or maybe a machine? I understand your question. I have to think about that. But I don't think, the examples that they gave in the book were to avoid that because it hadn't been previously ground. I'll think about it. Okay. Number three, niyad. Okay. What is niyad? What is the definition of niyad? Foods or substances may be ground for immediate use, just with borer. Remember, what was the definition of miyad for borer? Anybody remember? What was miyad? Eat it right away. How long do you have?
Just enough time that it takes.
Enough time that it takes you to prepare. Okay? So here again, also, if you want to make your, you want to cut up your vegetables, okay? So we would seem that tochen, grinding, would be permitted as long as it was miyad. So it would seem that cutting up these vegetables, these onions, very finely, would be permitted miyad. Now I just want to give you as a caveat. So let's look first, miyad. Here, let's look at the Mishnah Berura, okay? Turn back to page 3. It's important to know that there's a lechatchila, there's a what should you do, a priori, and then a bidyevet. Okay? Let's look, we're back in Yud Beis, a number of Yud Beis. Okay? 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 Here he says, Davka, we're in the second line in Yud Beis. See where it says Vidavka, right before that little Yud Dalit, Vidavka? And please make sure everybody next to you has the place. It says Vidavka. Okay. Does anybody not have it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have it? You got it?
Vidavka,
right here, next to the Yud Dalit. Very good. Vidavka, so that is specifically peyrot, fruits. Ukidoma, lezeh, similar things are aser. Aval mutar lefarer lechem lefnei atar negoldim. But let's say you want to feed bread to your chickens and you don't want to kill them, so you want to crush up the bread. Or you want to make breadcrumbs, you have old challah, and you want to put it in your soup. That's permitted. Dehoril ukvar nitchan, since it already has been crushed, been ground, ein lachus. You don't have to worry. Why? De ein tochen achar tochen. You can underline that little thing. There's no grinding after grinding. Okay. Ein tochen achar tochen. It's a very important principle. You can only grind things once. You can't grind them twice. Like Amir said also, let's say you have your salt shaker, right? And you take out your sugar or whatever, and it's already hardened. So can you go start chopping away? Aren't you grinding? The answer is no. In that case, you would be permitted because of ein tochen achar tochen. You can't grind something twice. The only exception that I heard of was, for example, let's say I wanted to grind up, I took sugar, and then I dissolved it, and it turns into rock candy. Has anybody ever made rock candy? I never. So that's how you make rock candy, basically? Right? So that rock candy is considered a new entity, so you couldn't grind that up. But any granulated sugar that hardened or salt, you can't be token, achar token. What's a good solution, by the way, to prevent that from happening? What? Right. Why wouldn't you do that? Simon is correct. The way you do that, the way you prevent that from happening is by putting rice in the salt shaker. Why wouldn't you, why shouldn't you put rice in your salt shaker? That's right, because then you get into problems of borer. Remember you learned a few weeks ago, borer is choosing the good from the bad, right, but with a kli. So here, imagine, you have this mixture, not even intentionally, you have a mixture of rice and salt, okay? And you're using this utensil with the holes that are only small enough for the salt. And you start pouring out, and all you get is salt. I don't see any way that would not be borer. So the best thing to do is let your salt clump up and then chop it away if you have a problem. Okay. Says du amah, second line from the bottom. V'chol zeh, this whole thing, lo mayre ela b'choteich u'meiniach. This is only talking about when you're choteich, cutting, u'meiniach, and then you're going to leave it. Aval im l'achlo miyad, but if you want to eat it miyad, see that line, the word miyad? Miyad means right away. Hakol sheri, do whatever you want. Okay? Mimi dehave aborer le'echol miyad deshari. Just like we learned, borer was permitted miyad, so too, it's permitted miyad. Okay? So now, yeah. Yes. Apparently so. Except, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? Hakol shari, mem hei. See the word, mem hei? See the right-hand column? Oh, you didn't write it down yet?
No.
Okay. See the right-hand column shari? Okay. And so, you know, you look like you're all excited. You read the Mechaber. I can do whatever I want. Right? Along comes the Chavetz Chaim and says, hold on. The yesh mipach bekin al heter zeh. Some people are not so happy about this heter. Mipach bekin means they hem and haw. They're not really happy. The gam beit Yosef, the beit Yosef writes also, meaning the Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, she'af mi she'mechavein le'achol miyad, even someone intending to eat right away, gam kein yizahera lachtoch lachatichot gedolot ketzat, should also still not not chop it into this finely ground, but also should still cut it into a little bit of bigger pieces. Why? Basically, what happened is the following. You have a machloket based on the Gemara between the Rishonim, between the rabbis. And the rabbis, some rabbis said miyad was permitted, just like Borer, and some rabbis said not. So even though the accepted practice in many places was to follow that custom, Rabbi Yosef Karo wasn't sure. You notice, by the way, who wrote miyad? The Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserles. The minhag Ashkenazi, the Ashkenazi custom was that it was okay to cut things very finely right before the meal. But the Sephardic custom apparently was not. So today, nowadays, because of what the Chafetz Chaim wrote, it's still better not to cut things, unless you really have to, into a very fine, small amount. What would the example, for example, you'd say you would have to? What would you say would be considered a case of Shas Adchak, you would need to cut something very small? For a young child. So then, if you needed to do it for a young child, under what conditions would one be permitted to cut it very small?
Right away.
Only if you're doing it right away.
Also for an older person,
absolutely correct. Right. Sometimes if you're feeding an older person, and we've all had this experience, so it could be dangerous to have larger pieces and they don't see them. So therefore, in that case, if there's a case of need, and you need to put, you feel like they need to have the onions for whatever reason, or you need to put that in, then you'd be able to do it, miyad, you'd be able to rely on this hetzer. Okay, number four, back on page 2. Shinoi. Shinoi means an abnormal manner. Foods or substances may be sometimes be ground by employing a halachically sanctioned backhanded method. Backhanded. You know, I mean, you do it in the unusual way. Everybody remember how I made that banana last week? Right? How did I do it? I didn't do it with the prong of the fork, because a banana is a very interesting thing. The question that comes up is the following. When I talk about grinding, what is grinding? When you take something dry and you grind it into small pieces. That's classic grinding. I take a grain and I grind it into flour. Or what else, you know, whatever else I do, like the dates we had, the example. I take dried dates and I grind them into smaller dried dates. But what about banana? What about an avocado?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay?
It's more like mash.
Ah, it's mashing. May I mash or mayn't I mash? What do you think? Is mashing like grinding or not?
No.
Oh, very good point. So now here's the interesting thing. When did the Chazon Ish live? Somebody help me out here. Herschel, when did the Chazon Ish live? Not too long ago. He died in the 1950s. He died in the 50s, I think. He was basically the accepted Gadol Hador. He lived in Israel. The accepted leader of the generation lived in Israel. The Chazon Ish felt that mashing was the worst type of grinding. And that mashing something like a banana was tochein totally, and you could never do it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, on the other hand, felt that mashing isn't at all like grinding. Why? Because grinding is when I take something and make it into smaller pieces. Here, when I mash my avocado, what do I have? I have one big blob of stuff. So Rav Moshe felt, and we pass him like Rav Moshe under most circumstances, we pass him in the cases of need. Meaning, under normal circumstances, it's probably better not to do it because the Chazon Ish knew his stuff too. Right? But in case of need, for example, you want to feed a child, or whatever, we pass it like Rav Moshe, that one could mash, but Rav Moshe himself, out of respect for the Chazon Ish, said, if you're going to do it, don't do it in the normal way. Don't stick it in his face, as it were. Right? You should do it in an abnormal way, with a shinoi. So remember I said to you last week, so you want to mush up the banana, or you want to mush up the avocado for a child, don't do it in the normal way, do it in an abnormal way. Now, what would be another way of mashing an avocado in a normal way? This is something that people do all the time, from what I understand. I don't eat avocados. My wife's going to be mad at me, so I'm not going to waste the avocado. Okay. Well, maybe I will waste the avocado. Because these aren't cheap. Okay. What? So I have an avocado. People tell me, so now this avocado, would you say it needs to be mashed still? Is it mashable? Or would you see, here's the trick. When an avocado gets so very, very ripe, then what happens? As it gets riper, it gets softer. So now, if it's so soft like margarine, then you're allowed to spread it. But this is not that way. Here I have, see already? So I have pieces of avocado. Right? No, it's not. In order to spread it, what do I have to do? Right. In order to spread it, I really have to mash it. Right? See it? See what I'm saying? See how it still has its shape? See how it still has its shape? So in order to smoothen it, I have to spread it. I have to mash it. So you should really stay away from that, unless you want to do it in an abnormal way and something that you really need on Shabbos. Okay? If you want to do it, if you need to do it for like a child, then you would do it. But apparently my daughter likes eating avocado. You just scoop it out and give it to her. You don't have to mash it at all. But to spread it is not such a simple thing on Shabbos or Yom Tov because it does involve mashing it. So if you have to do it, I think people do this a lot. They spread it straight. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't spread it straight. You should do it in an abnormal way.
Dave, you hungry? The opposite end of the fork.
Well, Rav Moshe writes, if you're going to do it, you should do it only in a Shas HaTchak, in case of need, like for a child. So I don't know, you know, for a person, for me or you, to say I need my avocado spread on my toast. Right.
It's very high. It's got a lot of high.
Right, but I'm saying a child, you wouldn't have to mash it up. A child, you could just take it and what?
Don't say toast, say bread. Make their hand.
Matcha. How about matcha?
Depends on the child, right?
What? It depends on the child. But us, if you would need to mash it for a child, you would do it exactly right with the back of the spoon.
Okay. Do it.
Why?
Need
is relative. Let's say that's what your child wants to eat, and the child is hungry, and the child doesn't want anything else. Right? You never had a child with a temper tantrum?
That wants an avocado.
My daughter loves avocado. I don't eat avocado. I don't know why. How is avocado? Oh, so we talked about making guacamole last week, right? So I think that making guacamole is a problem. It really is a problem, unless you need it. Meaning, if you want to just rely on Rav Moshe straight, you could. You really could. If you, like, for some reason, are serving the President of the United States, and he only eats guacamole, and he comes on Shabbos, and you need to make guacamole, then you could make it, Father Rav Moshe, with the back of the spoon. But under normal circumstances, make your guacamole before Shabbos. Okay? What? Does it? All right, I'm going to have to try this guacamole. Everybody says it's okay. Last week was lisha, which is kneading. But guacamole was a thick. How thick is guacamole?
It depends.
Like sour cream, is it pourable? Yeah. All right. It's interesting he doesn't mention, you know what, it's funny, he doesn't mention guacamole in the book. I think the reason is, Chalidim don't really eat guacamole. What? You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it wouldn't be in his experience. Otherwise he would have mentioned it. You know, also it's interesting, it's an American book, because if I was writing this book in Israel, what's the first thing you would think of that you grind up in order to make? Tahina. Hummus. Right, that's what is tahina? It's ground up chickpeas. So the root of the word tahina comes from the word tochein, to grind. That's what tahina is. What are you looking at?
That's a great revelation.
Oh, you didn't know? Okay. Yeah, you ever make falafel? What's falafel? You know how to make falafel?
Falafel,
you grind up chickpeas, you add stuff to make it into a paste, and you fry it up. Yeah, and if you ever made it from scratch, it's really, really good. Okay, so those are our four exceptions. You have Ein Tochen Megidulei Karka. You have Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. You have Miyak, and you have Shina. Let's just look at Shina for a second. Let's go back to page 3, please. So what's the classic example of something you'd have to grind that everybody normally grinds? So people who are food connoisseurs, they don't have loser crust pepper like I have in my cupboard. What do? If you ever go to a very fancy restaurant, the waiter will come over and grind it up for you. And you know, they do it for salt? See, salt is silly, because salt is salt. But pepper, it makes a difference. You know, it's like the coffee. It's like coffee. You know, like, I'm nuts about this dumb coffee. So there's a difference. You can taste the difference between coffee I ground just now and coffee that they ground in the factory and has been sitting in plastic. You absolutely can taste the difference. So pepper is also the same way. So one of you must have your crushed pepper on Shabbos. What? Yes, you can. Says the Mechaber. In fact, not only am I that. You said you couldn't?
Right.
Let's see. Mutar ladoch laduch pilpulin. One is permitted. Laduch means to crush. Pilpulin. But a pilpulin?
Where are you reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. On page 3 at the top. Very top. At the very top page 3. Mutar. Mutar laduch pilpulin. One is permitted to crush peppers. Afilu ha-beyachad. peppercorns, right? Even many together. V'hu, how do you do this? Shiyiduchem bekata shel sakin. You take the handle of a knife, the butt of a knife, and you start crushing them that way. So Aviva's looking at me like, who would want to do that?
Me.
Right, okay, now you're fine. You don't have to do it. But she, he already said, you can crush them to your heart's content. But if you do it with a knife, ubeki'ara. And you also have to do it in a bowl, as opposed to what should you not do it in? In the pestle, right? No, in the, which is the mortar? In the mortar.
The mortar's a cup.
The cup, what?
Yeah.
Because the mortar, right, was the kli, as we're going to see. We're going to see why. Okay, why shouldn't you do it? Okay, let's look at, actually, by the way, look at Chaf Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah, which, you know, and it's very interesting. Ve'im hu shochek pilpulin usar tavlin b'machteshet kidarko, if you crush peppers or any other spices in a crusher in its normal way, va'afilu girger achad, one little peppercorn. Yesh bo iser de'oraita mishum tochein. So you have violated the iser de'oraita. So, you know, if you can do it the right way, l'chachila, totally mutter with the back of the knife. Sorry. Okay. But the not permissible way, if you do it in the same, right, in the pepper mill, what's it called?
Pepper mill.
So then you're not allowed to do it at all. So now, if I wanted my garlic, is anybody, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't know how to use this thing. Because when I stick the garlic in here, all I get is the disgusting mush of stuff. Anybody? You get juice a little bit. No, I know. You put it in here. So if I want to have garlic, right? If I take my... What's so funny? Right? You take a clove of garlic. This, by the way, I once had a friend. He was cooking for the first time. They said, add a clove of garlic. So he thought a bulb was a clove. and he thought it was good until somebody came along and said, you know. Right. So if I do this, doing this, right? That's all you get? That's all? So that was, I just violated the Isser of Tochein, Midoraisa, if I did that on Shabbos. Okay, because here I have the crusher made for crushing, and then they're nice enough to you that they give it to you, and like, you know, you can crush it back this way. And now, see, but now it gets all in here and it's gross. Right? I don't think it's worth it, because what do you get out of that? That's all you get? You only get that little juice?
You do more than one.
You have to do like 50 in order to make a recipe.
No, it's strong. You don't need that much.
It's strong? I like a lot of garlic. Maybe, I don't know. You now you can also buy, now they have mince, they have garlic jars, like you buy it in the jar. I add a ton of that.
The cubes in the freezer also.
Yeah?
Frozen in little cubes.
You know, we are so spoiled, it's not even funny. What? No, this is not, this is all right, then. You're not allowed to. Now, what if I wanted...
No, but you're going to do it with the sakin and all that with the handle.
Oh, I could do it with the back of a knife, with the shinoi. So I said the avocado also, you could do it with a shinoi. Sure, you could crush it, I said, with the back of the spoon or whatever. But remember, avocado, well, the garlic is not a good example because the garlic is wet. Now, the garlic was actually a bad example. It would be a better example. Most spices are dry and you're crushing them. So the reason I talked about the avocado was because the avocado was a specifically different, like a banana or an avocado or things like that.
Can you do a gold clove between two spoons?
And again, it's the same crushing thing. First of all, I'd like to see you do it. Here, I'll do it with two spoons. How would you do it? I think your best bet is the back of the knife. Take the back of a knife or whatever. He's talking about taking a hammer. You can do it with a hammer if you want. Mm. Right? Why would I have to do it with a hammer?
Because you wouldn't normal.
Isn't a hammer mukhsa? Very good, right. A hammer is what's called a klisha malachto v'isser. It's not always mukhsa. It's only mukhsa because it has a specific forbidden purpose. But those things, if you're using them for a permissible purpose, they'd be allowed. For example, this is mukhsa on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. One would not be allowed to use this because it's mukhsa. You can't pick it up. But if for some reason I decided I want to crack open nuts with it, this could be used as a nutcracker. I could then pick it up and use it in a normal way to crack nuts. But if I don't, it's mukhsa and I can't pick it up on Shabbos. Just as an aside. I'm sure we'll get to that eventually. Okay. What? Mukhsa means set aside. But literally, when we talk about something being mukhsa, mukhsa literally it means you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. That's the colloquial usage of mukhsa. Okay, thank you for asking. and now I stink like garlic. Okay. What?
You were in the right place. Remind me now. Shouldn't I spit anyway?
Okay. Let's skip to. Okay, one second. So now there's a rule also that's important to know that we talk about from grinding. Okay. Since you're not allowed to use these, you're not allowed to grind these things. Also, you're not allowed to use things even when you're permitted to grind. The rabbis forbade you from grinding things with a normal grinding, machine or whatever, a normal grinding implement, utensil, because of something called uvda dechol. Uvda dechol means an action that you would normally do. It's sort of a broad-based prohibition that you're not allowed to do something you would normally do on a weekday. So, for example, am I allowed to now grind this egg? Can I grind this egg in order to make egg salad? Based on what we learned today, can I take this egg and smash it up to make egg salad?
It depends on the size.
Doesn't grow on the ground. It's absolutely correct. I can grind it any way I want. I can take a fork, which has guacamole on it, and grind it up just like this. But what I can't do now, this is a smasher. This is made, a kli that's miyuchad specifically for mashing. So you're not allowed to take a kli that's miyuchad for mashing and use it to mash things up. Okay? See how much more efficient that is? Isn't that great? Nice and mashed up egg, right? What? A fork is not a kli that's miyuchad. Of course, you could do it with a fork. Egg slicer. Excellent question. I'm glad you asked. Is an egg slicer a kli that's miyuchad? Now, it's interesting. I didn't know this. Miriam, who's not here, she's actually in New York. She had a pay a shiva call. She asked me last week. She said she has this thing. I don't even know what the word for it is. Is anybody here when she asked this question? That's used to make like cucumber salad, slicing.
A
mandoline.
Like a mandoline, yeah.
Okay, she asked me, could you use it? I said, sure. Are you allowed to? Why wouldn't you be allowed to use it? So it turns out that a grater, so I don't have a grater, a cheese grater, you were allowed to cut up cheese, right? But you're not allowed to, the posting because of this rule of uvda dechol, say you're not allowed to use a grater or things like that. And I just don't know. Is a mandoline more like a cheese slicer, which we're going to see is permitted, or is it more like a grater, which is not permitted? This is a zester.
I think it's more like a grater.
You think so, a mandoline? This is a zester. Anybody ever use one of these? Mm-hmm. So a zester, that's tochen. You're grinding, right? So I wouldn't do this. Do not do this. You're not. I cannot think. This is, by the way, the oraisa to do this on Shabbos because I want my orange zest. What do people use zest for? I don't even know. Stuff, right? Cakes or whatever. This, see, I'm using a. This is a grinding implement. Emerald uses it all the time. You are just a food channel.
Just love that show.
No, New York went crazy. No food channel.
Oh no. Wait, how can they not have food channel in New York?
I don't know.
Okay. So everyone, see what I just did? This is a malacha d'oraisa. I use this in order to chop something that grew in the ground. There's a malacha d'oraisa. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay, if I wanted to, how would you zest orange peel on Shabbos?
With a knife?
If you could, you could.
But that would be a normal way of doing it.
With a knife?
To peel off parts of the...
No, to zest it?
But it's specifically used just for the orange.
Right, and it's not the normal way. I've for sure that's not the normal way. You could not, you can't zest. Zesting is in order to get these little small pieces. These little teeny tiny pieces. Even grating. This is, you know... How would you do with a knife? You'd have to like...
Have a very, very sharp knife.
Like this?
Very carefully, yeah.
So, but you'd end up with a little skin.
Then you have to chop it up.
So then again, you get to the issue of chopping up things into very small, fine pieces, which you probably shouldn't do either, unless you absolutely had to because the Sultan of Saudi Arabia was coming over, and he only drank he ate his cake with lemon zest on top. You know, but otherwise, I wouldn't recommend doing it, even though the only way to do it would be when... Had to have niyad immediately before the seudah. But I don't know why you'd have these
the
Sultan of Saudi Arabia over on Shabbos anyway. Correct, but... Right. He asked another question. What about cooked foods? So you're asking about potatoes. Right. What about cooked foods? So it turns out that's a three-way machlokes. Okay? One is the Chazon Ish. So what do you think the Chazon Ish said? What would you guess the Chazon Ish said? Wrong. The Chazon Ish said that once it's cooked, it's already cooked and you can mash it as much as you want. Okay, what do you think Rav Moshe Feinstein said? He said not to do it. Right. Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that if it's not separate pieces, it would be fine. See, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, by the way, remember Rav Moshe said smushing things up, mashing is okay. So that if you have like a potato, so you're allowed to mash it. Mashing wouldn't be a problem. But if you wanted to cut your potato into fine pieces, that you wouldn't do. So now you have like in your challenge, right? So you want to mash up your potato, that you, according to Rav Moshe, you would also be permitted to do. A former Zalman also writes, once it's cut up a little bit, started to be mashed, you'd be okay. But the only problem you'd have is, let's say I want to make a potato salad. Right? So how do you take a potato salad? You have cooked potatoes. So let's say you cook the potatoes before Shabbos, and then you wanted to cut it into smaller, much smaller pieces to make the salad. That would be a problem. I'm not. You'd have to make them into, as we say, a little bit bigger pieces, and then you're fine.
Eat it right away.
Right. Well, no. Even if it's, if you don't want to, if you want to, just you want to make it for tomorrow. As long as you cut into big pieces, you're totally fine. Okay. So that's not grinding at all. That's just cutting up into big pieces. If you wanted to make really small pieces, like for a baby or whatever, then you'd have to do it beforehand.
Tomorrow is a
Hanukkah. No, it's on Shabbos. A Hanukkah is only for after Shabbos.
Right. And then you want to eat it tomorrow.
From Friday.
I meant from Friday night to Shabbos day. Right, that's what I meant. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
I mean, the
egg slicer. Oh, egg slicer. Ah, good. Turn to page three. Two. Bottom of page two. I've got avocado on my sheets. Okay. Okay. Harivash Shimon Kuv Pedale. This is from the Igros Moshe. I wanted just to show you. Page two at the bottom, source number four. Igros Moshe is the responsum of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Now, Moshe Feinstein died in the late 1980s. And Moshe Feinstein was a very, very well-known and accepted posek. He was what was called the Gadol Hador. He was the greatest rabbi of our generation. And then he died. So the way halacha was given from the time of the Shulchan Aruch until today, when we just do it email or telephone, was if I had a question, I would write a letter, and the rabbi would write me a responsum. Those are called shalot or tshuvot. Okay, and there's an entire literature, I mean, absolutely enormous literature of Shiloh and Tshuvot. So that's why if you want to be a posek, you can't just go in the Shulchan Aruch anymore. You have to know the Shulchan Aruch and all the commentaries, but you also have to know the whole literature of Shiloh and Tshuvot to know how rabbis after that dealt with the issues that fell between the cracks of the Shulchan Aruch. It's really a lot. Okay, so somebody asked a Moshe a question. He said, HaRivash, Simon Kufpei Dal, HaRivash in chapter 184, Asar ligur gvina b'moreg charutz ba'al pipiot. Basically, he said he forbade you from grinding using cheese with a cheese grater. Okay, you have a little cheese grater. You're not allowed to use that on Shabbos. Mishum uvda dechol. See that term in the second line? Uvda dechol. Uvda dechol. It's something you would do during the weekday. Ha'im mutar lachtok gvina ubeitim bekelim hamiyuchadim lekach. Can I use a cheese cutter? Or, like you said, one of those little egg cutter guys. Can I use that? And what is the kalim of the dechol? Said Rav Moshe, tshuva. Here's my answer. Usually a tshuva in Rav Moshe will be very, very long. It will be a number of pages. And he'll really lay out the whole issue for you. We'll start from the Gemaras and go to the Shulchan Aruch and go to the Rambam. He'll really lay out the whole thing. It's really quite complicated and very involved. So he says, lefi ma shekatavti, as I wrote, leka shum isur. There's no problem. You can use your egg slicer. Deharei zehu rak chaticha lechalakim velo dak dak. You're not chopping it up. Rather, all you're doing is cutting it into slices, and that's permitted.
But then you turn it around, and then you cut it again.
Is this a grater or a slicer?
That's what I did. That's how I make my egg salad.
Oh.
You cut it.
Cut it one
you
way, then you cut it the other way.
I think that it would be permitted. Because all that he's saying is, it's not something that's used in order to make something into very small pieces like this. It's not a masher per se. It's just a glorified knife. So basically all you've done is made a contraption where I have 10 knives in a row. So all that is a glorified chopper. So I could take a little thing and make 10 knives in a row, but what I can't do is have something that's specifically made to grind something up. I think that what Moshe would say is permitted. And based on that, my thing should be okay.
It sounds like you could use it once.
The mandolin. I have to call a post, but the mandolin has two sides. Right? It has a grinder side and it also has a slicer side.
The mandolin has knives that you have to insert.
I gotta see this thing.
Yeah.
What? Sounds, yeah.
Yeah.
It dices it tough. I don't remember how I talked about trying to learn Mila through a book.
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I have a question. It sounds like with her instrument and also hers, that you can do it one way, just slice it. You can't keep turning
it. I think the question was, as it goes by the utensil, is the utensil something that's used specifically? So even if I wanted to zest a potato for some reason, which is permitted, or zest my egg, I wouldn't be permitted to use this because of uvda dechol. I can't use a contraption or an item. So I think Ramosha says you could use your egg slicer. I think you're in good shape because the egg, or the cheese grater you couldn't use, but the egg slicer you could. You're not talking about what is it accomplishing. It's not the question of what does it do, is what is the nature of the actual item itself. Do the rabbis prohibit? So if I wanted to put my egg in here, right, and squish my egg, I would not be permitted to do that. I'm not allowed to use that, even though...
No, I'm asking about a chopper.
It's like the fork.
What kind of chopper?
It's like the fork.
That you chop into a...
The egg you chop.
Next week we'll have show and tell, and everybody can bring in their stuff, and we'll have to decide one by one, and the ones I don't know, I'll ask. Okay, based on what we learned today, next week we're going to turn to the thing that comes out of Tochen. Everybody's been bugging me about, what about taking medicine on Shabbos? What can you take? What can't you take? How do you take it? How don't you take it? Et cetera, et cetera. Happy week, everybody.